All right, here we are. It is commonsenseohioshow.com, or just Common Sense Ohio if you just want to listen to the show. But if you want to listen to the show and check out the website and check out all the backlog, you go to commonsenseohioshow.com, where you have all the buttons necessary to like, subscribe, check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, you know, wherever else we are. I don't even know. It's so many places. So ubiquitous that it is everywhere. And the reason, one of the reasons anyway, we are so ubiquitous is because we are sponsored by Harper Plus Accounting. And right now, anybody who's running a small business either is thinking, darn it, I had to extend my corporate. Now I got to extend my personal because I had to extend my corporate. And if you don't know what a K-1 is, don't worry about it. It's not skis. I think those are K-2s.
I have no clue.
But if you didn't get your K-1s from March 15, then you can't do your personal returns for April 15, and now you're looking at October. Not with Harper Plus, because my stuff was done and it was tight and it was solid, and we're already planning for next year. My accountant could be yours. Now they have a separate, whole separate. So, you know, there's this thing in accounting worlds where, you know, do you need a tax return done? You bring the paperwork, it gets done quickly. And do you trust H&R Block? I don't. Do you trust yourself with like TurboTax? I don't.
There goes that sponsorship.
Yeah, right. unless they want to sponsor us.
Right.
Then they're the greatest.
Yeah.
So they've got the Harper Plus has a whole new wing just for that. They'll get your quick little easy tax return. And nothing's quick and easy, but you get what I'm saying. They'll do the transactional stuff too. So Harper Plus Accounting. What else do we got going on? A quote of the day, which is going to lead into the World War II fact of the day. And you're going to wonder what the hell Dante has to do with World War II. Mm. But as Dante said, a mind sequestered in its own delusions is to reason invincible. Interesting. And what was he talking about? Neville Chamberlain, who on this day in like 1930 or 1940 maybe proclaimed, Hitler has missed his bus.
Peace in our time.
Hitler has missed the bus on the invasion. So by then, Hitler had already taken Poland. And I think Chamberlain was talking. I think he said it several times. And, you know, the internet, my sources give me like sometimes the same fact in different days.
Hmm.
So forgive me if I get it wrong. But anyway, he was talking to some people up in Norway and said, you know, don't worry. Hitler has missed the bus. We're all good. We've now had time to ramp up our military and we're going to be just fine. And then I think within a month, Hitler invaded. So it was an interesting sort of segue, I think, into what's going on today. It's like this, there is this criticism and the person who used Dante to describe Chamberlain, was a gal named Susan Peterson in The Guardian, describes him as a shy, prickly, arrogant, narrow-minded, and above all vain. Once he made up his mind, he thought criticism was disloyal and personally hostile. As Dante said, a mind sequestered in its own delusions is to reason invincible. And isn't that similar to what we got cooking in our leaders today? You know, they don't want to hear it. If you criticize them, and look, this may be true on both sides of the political aisle right now. Try to criticize anybody who's in charge right now and see the reaction you get. It is not a common sense approach to the world. And I think this is an interesting history repeats itself, I suppose. And this is why we're doing what we're doing, right? I like to be able to take apart facts and circumstances and tidbits and just, you know, chop it up here at the table a little bit.
I mean, you know, what you say and that author says about Chamberlain is absolutely true. But it's 10 times more true about Hitler, who was completely delusional, and his generals in Dante's, to use his metaphor, his circle of generals around him almost never told him, you know, that this was the path to the end of Germany, that he was destroying their country with taking on all of these wars, invading all these countries, a two-front war with the West and with Russia. And every time, finally a few of them tried to blow him up. You know, in an assassination attempt, but it was way too freaking late.
Well, and then there was this, you know, in the same article, the same history that I was studying this morning, is the Oster plot. And apparently there was this sort of rumor going around that if Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia, that his own generals would they would step in and sort of take him down. And Chamberlain sort of bought into that nonsense.
Yeah.
Churchill did not, as it were, you know, there's some really fascinating history going back and forth with how Churchill takes power. after the war had already started, sort of as it starts, Chamberlain sort of is shamed off. And then, but ironically, after the war, it was sort of the reverse. You know, Churchill's gone, the socialists sort of move in, and, you know, there we go.
Yeah, the old Prussian.
Maybe that's a strong word, socialist, but the other, the Labor Party.
Yeah, no, that there were any number of plots or theories, you know, before Hitler really ramped up and invaded Poland, that these various Anschlusses, like into Czechoslovakia, for example, that and Austria, and, you know, he did several of these, Alsace-Lorraine. He went into a lot of these areas, and the old Prussian generals were always thinking, oh, God, no way is France and England going to put up with this shit.
And they did.
And they did. Oh, right. And so—
No way the United States would put up with attacks on our merchant ships.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
No way we would put up with that.
You'd think we wouldn't, would you?
No way we would put up with China taking Taiwan. No,
right. Yeah. Or building islands out in the Pacific that are aircraft carriers.
We wouldn't put up with that.
No. We wouldn't put up with that. No. You know, I mean—
Or like terrorists coming across the border unchecked.
Well, actually, let's just fly them in.
It is
we'll pay to bring them in. Right,
an invasion, like assisted by the federal government itself.
Right, it's
like
insane.
You can understand the states rebelling and going to the Supreme Court and saying, you know, we want SB4 in Texas to be upheld because nobody's stopping these people.
Yeah, we would never put up with that.
No, we would never put up with it.
No, right. That couldn't happen.
Look who I found.
We've got a guest.
all you see is a tail.
Dexter, Mrs. Dexter.
I love it.
Hey,
I love your dog, hey, Steve.
All right. So without further ado, I suppose we should jump right in. Lots of stuff going on in the world.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Speaking of warfare, you know, just brief. So the Israeli bombing this past week of an embassy, I can't get over that they bombed the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. They, in order to kill a particular general who was doing all of this terrorism, you know, like Trump bombed, you know, the Iranian general at an airport, but the Israelis bombed an embassy. And then a couple days later, they mistakenly, I suppose, they say they made a mistake. They killed six or seven food aid workers in Gaza, blew them up. And I think it reflects not only the fog of war, like the United States has done stuff like this too.
Well, sure. Like in recent times.
In recent
times. Afghanistan, Biden did the same damn thing.
Killed 10 people, you know, some guy coming back with his kids.
And got skewered for it.
Yeah. So. And Biden never really, like, said he was sorry or anything. He just kind of, like, just moseyed on.
I'm not sure he even knew it happened.
I want to support Israel, and I've been on the program saying that. I thought Israel, I should have known better because Netanyahu is kind of out there. He has a history of being out there. The real Netanyahu hero was his brother who was killed rescuing those people who were hijacked and held at in Entebbe. And he was a special forces Israeli soldier on that mission and in charge of it, and he got killed. But Benjamin, his brother, the younger brother, I mean, he has a record of attacking refugee camps, attacking settlements. This guy's a little out there, and I was hoping Israel would be surgical in their methods. Like instead they're carpet bombing Gaza.
Well, I wouldn't say they're carpet bombing.
Well, I mean, the whole cities are gone.
On the other hand,
let's
pick it apart because I have to decide where I fall on this one. You know, as far as the friendly fire incident, I think in almost any conflict, any war in history, that has happened.
But when you bomb an embassy, you basically
the embassy is a difference. Well, those two are different things. Well, so we need to take them differently.
Embassies are where you do diplomacy.
Correct.
And even if an embassy harbors a crook or an evil person, I don't get bombing the embassy.
See, right? That's a, this is where it gets really blurry, because, you know, Hamas has hidden its people in hospitals, under hospitals. They're
in
basically
mosques.
they're creating human innocent human shields
for sure,
and then saying nan 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 nan,
sure.
You can't get us,
just like North Vietnam did during the
Vietnam War. It puts the attackers in a really precarious position.
Absolutely.
So look, I get you. I don't presume to know enough military strategy about what was going on there as to whether that was necessary and certainly not or proper or whatever the words would be.
So if Netanyahu ran the Vietnam War, he would have carpet bombed Hanoi.
Presumably.
And we did not do that.
We didn't, and we lost.
Well, we didn't lose.
Well,
We left.
But we left because of this, really, in a lot of ways, because of the political backlash of this kind of stuff.
Well, it was a half-ass war. McNamara
from
set
the beginning.
This, you know, this we'll meet this force with an equal amount of force, but not enough to win.
Not enough to win, right. So, I mean, and maybe you look at Israel and they're saying, we're not going to do that.
Well, I don't blame Israel, the country. It's the leadership. This guy is just, he's hell-bent on retribution, and I get that, but he's operating from an emotional basis. Well, and what they did to the 1,200, and there's still like 125 people being held prisoner, and they're raping them, they're torturing them, they're killing them.
So
I get all that.
There's evil on both sides going on, then, I think, is what you're saying. Now blowing up an embassy.
Yeah.
Look, even if they felt it necessary, it's not a great look.
No, I dare say, okay, maybe we kind of go back to the Dante quote we both know, all of us know that, you know, Israel comes from the standpoint that they want anybody in Palestine, everyone dead. They don't want them alive. And the Palestinians the same way. They treat each other like shit.
The radicals on both sides feel that way.
I mean, it's a cultural thing.
I mean, there are peaceful people
within both. Yes, yeah, but as a whole.
Well, this war is defined this way, the way you're talking about it, right?
Yeah, so they don't recognize each other.
That's true.
Bottom line.
That's
so true. It doesn't,
so
they're
if
trying to, I'm not trying to justify the means, but it kind of, is it going that direction? It's like, we don't care. Bomb the whole thing.
Well, and they're sort of looking at, like, if we don't do this, they're going to do it to us. So this is what happens when you fight a war like this that doesn't presume to have really any rules. Or if you have one side playing by the rules, but the other not, then it gets politically difficult.
Yeah.
And look, I would say we'll flip it around here for a second. Mm. There's all these ceasefire calls and stopped, quit killing innocent civilians, do whatever. And all you have to do is say, Hamas, release your hostages and we'll cease fire. And they won't do it.
Right.
That's
They won't do it. They won't strike down any more than Israel.
Right.
So you can't blame one and not the other.
Right.
So Biden.
Right.
So see, Netanyahu had to know this. He's a shit tactician. If he didn't understand with a weak U.S. president that the moment yesterday in the phone call between Biden and Netanyahu, he had to know that was coming because Biden doesn't have any stomach for any of this. Right.
No, Biden, it's not that he doesn't have
his stomach. Folding up because of the election coming, and he needs Detroit, and he needs Minnesota.
He's always been a flipper, guided by whatever political current he thinks is going to get him.
Right.
Remember him being tough on crime, and remember him saying no, the Hatch Act, like all this crap.
That's right.
And all
he folds up like a house of cards.
Changes wins with whoever. And he's meeting with Bernie Sanders about healthcare all of a sudden when he was supposed to be a moderate. I mean, look, this is.
But Netanyahu, by being so extreme, he has triggered Biden and Tony Blinken yesterday saying that if they don't declare a ceasefire quite soon, that America is going to pull their support from Israel in some way, right?
Right.
And that's a disaster for the people of Israel. I want Israel to prevail here.
This is a disaster for everybody.
For everybody. Yeah. But it's just...
What is Putin thinking?
Jesus. So when we
What's
went
China
into...
What's China
thinking? When our Marines...
What's Iran thinking?
When our Marines
taking,
went into...
They're taking notes.
When we went into Fallujah, right... We didn't carpet bomb Fallujah. We went house to house. It was very painful and costly. A lot of American lives, a lot of boys, you know, missing limbs now, right? Going house to house, building to building, extracting ISIS, extracting the terrorists, extracting, you know, the what did they call them, the swords of what, revenge or whatever the acronym was. But they're not doing that in Gaza. They are the tactic is, we're not going to risk our people. We're just going to blow buildings up.
Because they have a very little respect for anybody that's in the Gaza Strip.
And there's children. There's freaking children.
I know. Look, I know.
Dude, and at the same time, you have Hamas hijacking aid convoys.
I get that.
Yeah.
And so it's like.
So kill Hamas. That's my point.
I'm with you. But
get your intelligence together.
If Hamas is hiding behind the innocent people,
I get that.
What do you do?
Okay. Well, in those situations, I think you do what you have to do. Like, you go in to the hospital. You go on to the airplane like they did in Entebbe.
So you wonder. I agree.
And some of the hostages get killed.
You wonder. If we had a
Carpet bomb.
If we had a more sophisticated is not the right word, but maybe if we had a less spineless approach to this, and the U.S. were actually getting involved and saying, all right, Israel, we're going to back you, but you're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
You're going to go in surgically, like you're talking about.
Yeah, pinpoint.
We'll give you some leadership. We'll give you some military assistance. Right. We'll help you with the tactics. You're going to pinpoint this. You're going to do it. But our country won't do that. The Western world won't do that.
Right.
And so Israel's like, we're going to do it our way then. Yeah. We're going to do it. And so
this guy's a hothead.
You always wonder what fills a vacuum when it exists.
Yeah.
Because it never just exists forever. A vacuum fills with something.
Yeah.
And we're not filling it.
Right.
You know, we're playing both sides. So our country right now is playing. Actually, we're giving money to both sides. It's almost insane.
It is.
We're taking no position except whatever Biden thinks is politically prudent to get Michigan. Right.
Right.
So I mean,
At least that's how it's being portrayed.
That's how it's being portrayed. Or looks that way.
It looks that way. Correct.
The dots are lining up in that direction. Yeah.
So, I'm afraid. So.
You know, you wonder. So now, if we weren't taking that position, if we actually it's almost always better to be to take a position, act on it, move forward with a plan.
Yeah.
And then you know what? When you're wrong, at least you know what doesn't work, and you can back up and go a different direction.
Right.
So I do this when I hunt all the time. I go hunt new land. People are like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's figure this out and make a plan. And then they say, well, how do you know that's going to work? Well, I don't know it's going to work, but I'll try, and then I know what won't work.
So hunting is a great metaphor, okay? There's assholes that go out there and throw a grenade in a lake, right? And then the fish, you know, float up to the surface, and they go get 200 fish. And then there's other guys that are real sportsmen, right, that put a hook in the water, and they do it the right way.
Well, it depends on if you need 200 fish or not.
True. Yeah.
You know, look, there's people that net fish.
Well, I'm talking about sportsmen. You know what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, well, it's no fun to do it that way. So.
Yeah, right. And it's also not right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ethical.
It depends on if you're netting fish or you're casting and catching.
Well, but as you know, come on, Steve. As you know, there's ethical ways to hunt deer and there's unethical ways. And you know all about that. You're a hunter.
Fair enough.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so if you're hunting terrorists, there's an ethical way to do it and an unethical way. And I don't even think.
But even in the most ethical of scenarios,
they're not even trying.
The lines get blurred. All right.
For sure.
Yes.
Mistakes get made.
You know,
I understand.
That's why I draw two different, I think they're two different stories.
Right. But they happen the
accidental,
same week.
Right. So you can't conclude from a friendly fire incident that the attacking force is evil.
No, of course not.
And you can't say it's directly related to the embassy because the embassy clearly was intentional.
Certainly looks like it.
And I just don't think that the friendly fire was.
Well, it wasn't friendly fire, but I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hitting the aid trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hitting the aid people.
Yeah. All right.
Complete change of topic. Can we talk a little bit about this prop betting? I have to say, I'm confused. The NC2A is saying in sports gambling, so like $3 billion are being wagered during March Madness right now. Sure. And there's all these ads. Okay, Pete Rose is still banned from the Hall of Fame for allegedly betting. But now the NBA, like Major League Baseball, everybody is betting. And the NC2A is saying, like, the college athletes. So from what I understand, prop betting means proposition betting. And it's betting not on the spread or who's winning the game, but on little things like, you know, how much time will it take from the opening buzzer for Caitlin, whatever her name is, to sink her first basket? Is it going to be 15 seconds?
Okay. All right.
So then NC2A.
It's like drinking game betting.
NC2A says these bets are causing pressure on these amateur athletes who are just college kids, right? And man, some of them are going to take a dive. Some of them are going to get threatened.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, that's always been the problem.
Right.
So, I mean, does it should?
So,
do
how
think
is this being prevented? The NC2A says you're not allowed to do that anymore. Well, really? They think the state of, you know, Nevada is going to respect what the NC2A says?
Well, not since the online betting just cranked up this past a year and a half ago. Right. What state doesn't have it?
How can they put the genie back in a bottle?
Look, the things that are happening in college athletics, the gambling, and then the name, likeness, and image, or name, image, likeness.
NIL, yeah.
It's like it's changing college sports forever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, some people are all in favor of it. So, I happen not to be. I also recognize it as like, all right, well, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
It's a different game. So we're recruiting players. Like one team, college teams are now recruiting players and offering money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
right.
We're
not paying you to attend Arizona State University. We're paying you to advertise for this car dealer.
Right. It's money. So look, you know, you could say it's a recognition of what was already happening, and maybe it is, but it's money and it's changing the face of it. So gambling is such an interesting phenomenon to me. So everybody has been watching I know it's not just the Ohio lottery, but the Powerball or whatever these lotteries are up to billions.
A billion.
Over a billion, something billion. And, you know, you win that, you cash out at 500 million, you pay taxes, you're walking away with 300 million. I think you live on that. but what's funny is that's a numbers racket.
Yeah.
That's all it is a numbers racket.
Yeah.
You know, it's what the mobsters used to run. So that's a numbers game. And that's all the lottery is. You know, they have machines in every FOE or private club or whatever for lottery. I've represented folks who are accused of misconduct with relation to those machines. They get addicted on gambling. I've clients who have spent literally $100,000 on gaming, and the state's running it.
The state is running it. All specifically Ohio, all in the voice of it's going to go to the schools.
It's all nonsense.
You've got to be kidding me.
Right.
Exactly.
Yet we still have a school funding problem, and we've had the lottery, right?
Exactly.
So
it's just too big of a machine for anybody to really point fingers at it and shut it down.
I happen to be talking in the last several months with Ohio lottery agents.
Oh.
They have their own little brown shirt force.
Jeez.
They're talking about what happened and my client did this or that and the other. And now, you know, my client stole this and, you know, they kept saying my client stole from them.
Wow.
And I sat across the table just like we are now. And I said, you mean me?
Yeah, right.
Us? And they looked at me sort of funny. I was like,
how is it
isn't this a taxpayer problem?
Yeah.
Like you didn't lose any money. Well, you know, we represent the lottery committee. I said, yeah. And that's us, right?
Are they same agency as the liquor control agents?
I think it's under the same hat, but it's a different agency.
Wow.
I mean, imagine a world, somebody gets enough momentum that the state of Ohio actually considers getting rid of the lottery. How much effort would that take?
It would be...
And the morality behind it. Thinking about all the addiction that is a problem with that.
I think impossible.
I have purchased less than 20 lottery tickets my entire life.
Yeah.
Not counting scratch-offs. I'll buy them for gifts at Christmas and stockings at times.
Right.
But like actual lottery tickets to win $1 billion. And I've been purchasing them lately because like, well, you know, it's $1 billion. Somebody's going to win. I'll spend $3. And, you know, it adds up.
Right.
And if you do that every day, and I know people who have played the pick three and pick five and pick whatever.
Yeah.
And if you play those every single day, you know, you're spending a couple $100 a month on lottery tickets.
So have you heard of, to support your point, have you heard about this guy out in Vegas who has won, you know, the one arm bandit, the
slot machine?
Slot machine.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's won it four times now for multiple hundreds of thousands. So the same guy, and it's $2,500. What he's doing is he's spending $2,500 per pool, and he has now won $1.3 million. He's hit the jackpot four times in the last 4 weeks.
Wow.
It's incredible. But, I mean, Have you ever? I never even knew you could spend $2,500.
I'm sure you go to the high roller room and you can.
Nice
the high roller room.
Wow.
I'm sure you can.
Good.
I mean, look, I have gambled. I played blackjack. I played craps. I've pulled the slot machines a few times. I recognize how addicting it really is.
Yeah.
It is.
The endorphin.
It's like, right? And I get addicted to a lot of stuff, and I know what that is.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, I have to treat that like a really hot fire.
Yeah.
And I can't be the only one.
No,
right? Sure.
No.
Yeah. And I know that's it's almost like an oversimple, but look at it.
Yeah.
In the lottery is no different. And these gamings that, or the gambling that we're talking about in March Madness is no different. And, you could say that the NCAA now is like, well, wait a minute. We don't want this anymore. At the same time, they're making tons of money from it. Like, who's watching March Madness except for that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the tournament, nobody is like, I watch that tournament or pay attention to that tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. There you go.
The tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Right.
But I've got a $10 office pool, so I'm like, check the scores and see what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, if I had bets on who's going to make the first basket, I'd be watching. It'd be a lot more fun.
So, do you remember back when, like, DraftKings and the other platforms were just coming on, like, you would hear radio spots and stuff? You couldn't really bet in the U.S. with those guys. It was over. Wasn't like Virgin Islands.
You're going back like a decade
correct.
Or so.
They were based somewhere else for it to.
But they were laying the groundwork.
Well, people were playing poker online.
Yeah.
Blackjack on. I was getting calls all the time about it. Is it illegal in Ohio if I'm betting on playing on this system over there?
And, yeah.
You know, it's like all sorts of stuff.
It's in Barbados or something. Yeah. But you're online with them.
Yeah. So and now it's just the state just said, look, we can't beat it, so let's join them. We're gonna have our own gambling regime. The state has its own casinos.
Yeah.
Correct.
End of story.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the state of Ohio wasting money, because like you said, gambling has not paid for the schools.
No.
Our secretary of our Ohio auditor, Keith Faber, disclosed this past week that Ohio Medicaid overpaid $1 billion last year in illegal double dip fraud. And what this is, it involves 124,000 people in Ohio that are dual enrolled in other states as well as Ohio. And they're not even necessarily getting the money, but the operating companies in the healthcare system like CareSource, like they get paid by the state of Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a snowbird Ohioan, like who's on Medicaid, and by the way, 1/3 of Ohioans are on Medicaid, which just blows me away. So 3.6 million Ohioans are on Medicaid because Kasich and Obama opened it up. They liberalized the eligibility standards.
Right.
So 1 billion is going, like CareSource is getting paid for the same operation or drug or whatever it is. For this little old lady, fictitious little old lady who's in Florida, but also in Ohio, and she's registered with both states.
All right, so
she's figured out the legal status, legal resident status of both states.
It's not her.
It's CareSource.
It's CareSource.
CareSource.
So what's happening is
we're being defrauded.
If I am, say, I'm CareSource, and you come to me and you've got Medicaid, you're not paying. Medicaid's paying.
That's right.
Right.
But on my side, and there's a whole industry behind this on medical billing, it is as complicated as it gets. I mean, there are codes for everything. The Medicaid will slash you here, but let you pay more here. So it's gotten down to the science where if we call it this, we get paid more, and it's sort of the same thing. We'll just do it over here.
Right.
Whatever. It's become this sort of complicated science on how to get paid. And I think what you're saying is CareSource is collecting payment not only from Ohio, but also from Florida.
And maybe a third state. God knows.
And maybe a third state. So what I need to know is, are they doing it on purpose? And, you know, you could say it's always on purpose if they're collecting twice, but they may not even know they're doing it because a lot of this stuff is just sort of automated and whatever. They could just be sending bills, or it could just be, well, this is the classic in the checkout line at the grocery store. Well, they didn't charge me for it, so I guess I'll just take it. But guess what? It's still theft.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
You know, if somebody double pays you and you know it and you accept it twice, it's theft.
But like Faber says, can you imagine what Ohio, like if we didn't have to spend that $1 billion in fraud, it could be used in other,
Sure. Of course, right.
It's unbelievable.
And it's only a billion, yet it's a billion.
We're one of 50
states. If you really looked into this, in every department, this is what's so asinine.
And in every state.
I represented somebody who works for, the person was an attorney working for public safety or something here in Ohio, and I learned how many attorneys, can't remember the number, but how many attorneys worked for the Department of Public Safety, what they made, and then what they did all day long. And it is asinine. It's asinine.
Yeah, and, yeah, right.
You know, and I can't even begin to vent about this because right. it's so upsetting to me.
Right.
And
there was a stat yesterday that came out that said people who have home offices, like people during COVID that were allowed to work from their homes, are twice as likely to take a nap on the job as people who are
in
the office.
I'm not going to use any names, but this was a government attorney. And the government attorney was talking to me one time about something or other. And he mentioned some device. I said, I don't know what that is. He goes, well, you know, it's this thing. It's like you put your mouse on it and it moves your mouse every so often so your Whoa. Screen doesn't go off.
Wow.
And I was like, well, why do you care?
Imitating activity.
Yes.
Wow.
And the reason they care about it, I was like, it took me a second to sort of put two and two together. And I realized, oh, you're watching Netflix and you want to make them think you're working. That's theft.
Or take a nap.
Or take whatever. A nap. Yeah. Right. You're mowing the grass and they think you're working because your mouse is moving.
Wow.
It is.
How crooked is it?
Because I know they've got
this
that.
Is theft.
Hayden has talked about this, taking online tests at UC, or it was during the summer when he was doing it all, you know, 100% online, a course he was taking. And it's something to do with the camera catching eyes, where his eyes would be.
Whoa.
So if his eyes go down to look for answers rather than taking the test, it would know.
Whoa.
So he really had to be focused on the screen taking the test. So they have that technology there.
Like
to
facial,
the reverse of what you're saying.
Like
you know,
facial recognition.
Pretty much a facial recognition.
Yeah.
So Jeez. It moves the mouse. So it looks like
moves the mouse.
Unbelievable.
And look, I have gotten this habit every afternoon. I go home. You know, somewhere mid-afternoon, I just get a change of scenery, and I just return emails and phone calls or whatever.
Yeah,
and I sit on my couch and just sort of do it, and I got my dog there, and maybe I'll start dinner because it takes, you know, whatever it would be.
But you work for yourself.
I work for myself, right. But there are times. Look, what I'm saying is, I am certainly not more efficient at home.
No, God no,
and far from it.
I mean,
sometimes I'll doze off for about 20 minutes. Sometimes
right.
I'll. You know, I'll listen to a podcast while I'm doing something else. But I'm not ripping anybody off.
No.
I'm working for myself.
Well, you're ripping yourself off.
Ripping myself
if
off.
If you don't. Right.
Right.
No,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
If you look back on the day going, okay.
Could I have been more productive?
But then you're also working till 3 a.m. sometimes.
So I choose to do it a different time. Right. So my job's a little bit sporadic. But if I'm paying a government attorney to be there for 8 hours and do 8 hours worth of work, they're not doing that. They're not even getting close to doing that.
No, they're not.
And
no, they're not.
And what they're making, I mean, we're talking like mid six figures or, $125,000,
$150,000. Right.
Plus benefits.
I mean,
and plus forgiving student loans.
So,
I mean,
guys,
this is a racket.
Mm-hmm. What could be more basic, right, than states getting together and running a Social Security number to see if they're doubly or triply paying for the same claim? I mean, this doesn't even seem to
Norm,
be hard.
This is what I say all the time. It's always easy to spend somebody else's money, and it's all in the corollary, or maybe an offshoot of that, is you don't give a crap when it's not very
that's
fit.
Right.
Like you just, there's no incentive for them to care because they just got so much money. And how many times have you talked to a government entity that says, oh, it's the end of the year, we got to get our budget in, or we got to spend it?
Right.
Oh, like, and if we don't spend it, we lose it.
We lose that's it, or you could give it back.
Maybe we'll give you a bonus at the end of the year for saving some money.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Right. You could give it back. Why are we incentivizing blowing through it all?
Right.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be some measures to double check that scenario. But
if you were running a private business, you wouldn't tolerate it.
No.
No way.
You would not tolerate
that's
none of this stuff would you tolerate.
And it's so captain obvious.
These mothers would be prosecuted. I mean, it would be like, it would be, you wouldn't tolerate any of it. Yet somehow with taxpayer dollars, like, oh, that's just sort of funny. We spent $5,000 for a hammer.
So, yeah, exactly. So speaking of being prosecuted, so are we going after the companies or the individuals?
Well, I think that has yet to be determined.
But I've represented one, both, and whatever.
Yeah.
So like they'll take down a lot of these, you know what they do? Here's what's frustrating. I'll represent, say, a home health aide, and I've got several of these right now. And the home health aide, like day in and day out, maybe it's a woman in a small town in Ohio, and her job is to go take care of people at home. And then what happens is they become sort of friendly with the people. You know, they become like a separate,
they're almost a family member.
Yeah, a family member.
Sure do.
And you know, maybe the family, and so they go that day, and the family says, "Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it today, and you know, you can just go home and don't worry. Bill it anyway. You know,
yeah.
Just don't worry about it." So they do, and you know, maybe they stack up a couple of thousand in billing like that. Then they get indicted. You know, but this stuff is going on, and yeah. you know, and it's. Yeah. I'm not saying they shouldn't get indicted,
right?
But a lot of times they'll have sort of the logic that you just gave me, Norm. Well, they're gonna the home health aide to say, "Well, look, I worked like I always stay like 20 minutes late."
Yeah.
And I never bill for that, so yeah. I'll just do this.
Yeah.
This is what happens with government programs.
Right.
It is what happens with government programs. It's almost impossible to do it perfectly. It cannot anybody's ever filled out a form for something and you know that the information you have doesn't fit on the form and you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no skin in the game. These people don't have a personal stake in their department's budget or what they're spending. So there's no incentive for anybody to double check or audit or be suspicious or any of that.
And you could say this is where the politicians, particularly the leftists, always operate in this realm. Well, people should. People should.
Right.
And what you said, Norm, is you used a word in there, incentive, which is really a corollary to human nature.
Yeah.
Like human nature is going to do what we're incentivized to do. You know, if it's my money.
Right.
I am not going to tolerate this.
Adam Smith. I mean, it's basic, you know.
Right. Adam Smith. You're exactly
basic
right.
Basic economics. If you have skin in the game, you will care then.
You will care.
About the costs and the benefits and where the money's going. And you'll be, because it's coming out of your pocket.
My son is saving for something right now, and it's joyous to watch his bank account grow.
That's awesome. Right?
Where if he wasn't, where if I were just going to buy it for him, he would go blow it at McDonald's every day after work. You know, and it's like.
Right.
You know, there's a skin, like you said, skin in the game. It's great way to put it.
And you know, the more and more you think about this, okay, $1 billion over a year's time, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Checks and balances quarterly? If you think, you look at it over that's the first quarter, and you're going, it's $300 million higher than a year over year. Look.
Well, they don't even know because it's probably happened so many years.
See,
it looks just like the last year.
You know,
It's so sad.
So, Brett, this feeds into every program you can think of.
Yeah.
It feeds into voting fraud.
Sure.
When there's no cross-checking between the states.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
This is the oldest scam. People on welfare in two different states. You know, my office is down on the south side, and I got to know a lot of Appalachian folks. There's the Appalachian Settlement House that's a block from my office, right? The Southside Settlement House, and it was for Appalachians coming into Ohio to assist them with, you know, hey, you're in a new state, you're not in West Virginia anymore, right, or Kentucky, mm-hmm. you're in Ohio, this is how things work, mm-hmm. we're going to help you find an apartment, we're going to, you know, et cetera, find a job, blah, blah, blah. Well, these folks were telling me, and, you know, they're just good old boys, and I said one time, hey, are you going to be around, I don't know what it was, 4th of July or something early in the month? I'll use the guy's name. He's not in Ohio anymore, but is the guy's name happened to be Steve. And Steve said, "No, Norm, we have to go back to West Virginia because my check's coming." And I said, "What do you mean check?" And he says, "Well, I get a welfare check in Ohio and I get one in West Virginia."
And they don't think anything of it.
No, he didn't perceive that there was any problem with that. Mm-hmm. It was just him being clever and working the system.
Right. This is like the person at the checkout line says, "Oh, that's good for me."
Yeah. And I'm like, "Wow, Steve, I hope you don't get busted. I mean, I'm not going to bust you. But dude,
it's
like
crime.
Your ass is hanging out.
And
here.
You're stealing from me."
Yeah.
Here in the state of Ohio.
And the people in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
You take it personal because you're stealing from me.
Push that out. Extrapolate it out. So, you know, these people are not only disincentivized from working, it's like they're double disincentivized. Now it's like,
yeah.
I mean, this is great. So, And we have now, and all you have to do is look at post COVID what we've done.
Right.
Like we have just disincentivized so many people from going back to work. We've ruined businesses. We're adding sort of off the books labor by the millions.
Yeah.
Through the southern border.
Yeah.
It just is. Yeah.
Well, it's like doctors, you know, doctors that lose their license in one state and they go, you know, they go shopping for another state and they pop up in California and they're, you know, and they're disbarred, so to speak, from another state. It's like these states don't cross check with each other. It's unbelievable.
Let's unpack that a little bit, though, because, you know, when we founded the country, each individual state was sort of like its own country. There was a time when if you went to Indiana, it meant something.
That's right.
Or if you went to Kentucky, oh, I'm down. You know, you had different laws. You
That's
had different
right.
things. There wasn't interstates. It was a whole different world.
Right.
It was a different realm. And now it's become homogenized with a bigger federal governmental presence than I think our founders ever intended.
Yeah.
And so now we've got this weird mix of both, which I think is what the problem is. So I don't have any problem if a doctor is disbarred or say a lawyer is disbarred in Ohio and then goes in California and gets a license to practice. Look. If you're going to have it that way, well, then have it that way. You know, California's got every right to license a lawyer out there.
Right.
Just because Ohio didn't doesn't mean they can't.
Right.
But when you have this sort of like pseudo involvement of the federal government, it's sort of like what's everything wrong with healthcare.
Right.
Like we want it to be private, yet we want the government to pay for it.
Right.
And it's the worst of both worlds.
Right.
So what we're talking about here is just that. If Ohio had a Medicare benefit and it was all just done within the state. So be it. You know, then we wouldn't give a crap what some other state is doing.
That's right.
And the other state probably wouldn't care because it's their money. They wouldn't let it happen either. So
that's
it's like,
right.
Instead, we've got this, we've created another layer of insulation for this sort of, I'll call it not even malfeasance, but nonfeasance. People just don't give a crap.
Yeah, they don't.
It's federal money. What do I care?
Yeah. Speaking, I mean, this, if you guys don't mind, I'll bring, speaking of Dave Yost, he is recently pushing for reinstatement or for use. I mean, the death penalty never went away, but they're not using it. And he's pushing that because I guess recently a state carried out a death sentence using nitrogen, which is obviously not a drug. It's not something, you know, I mean, go to a welding shop and buy nitrogen. And they basically put down the incarcerated person using nitrogen. And so Dave Yost has been pushing the state legislature to specifically authorize that as a means to get around Governor DeWine's moratorium.
So, yeah, I read that article too, and I guess it's not just going out and getting the can of nitrogen. Apparently there are three or four companies that do this. And or have the opportunity to supply the mechanism to do it.
Specialize in it.
And they're saying, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to sell it to states. So they're going to stop it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be tied to the stigma.
Yeah,
we'll call it that. I don't blame them. It's their business. It's their business.
Or am I comfortable selling, giving you something that I know you're going to use to kill another human being? I may or may not be.
Yeah.
I could say, well, look, it's a worthy cause. It's legal. Whatever. I'll give it to you. But I certainly don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a solution, but I don't know if it's a solution because of that situation. I don't know. The cost factor for keeping death row inmates is crazy.
Irrespective of how you feel about the death penalty, it's an interesting.
Yes.
You know,
it is interesting.
This bigger picture, one of the things that I like about the law and the legal system is that, particularly the Western legal system, which was developed on this notion of common law, which we make the law day in and day out. My litigation against you, against Brett, we go to court, there's a decision, maybe it pushes the boundaries of the previous one, so now we're making some law.
It's like sedimentary rock. It's an accretion.
Yeah, and it just sort of layers and layers. Moves. And, does law follow social issues or do social issues follow law?
And it's both, of course.
And it's like this weird interaction. Yeah. So, you know, it's in... This is a perfect example of that. Death penalty is falling out of favor, like it or not.
Yeah,
Yost may not like that.
Yeah, so a stat for you. Ohio has 336 people from 1981 to 2023. 336 were sentenced to death, and 56 have been carried out.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've had this conversation before, whether, you know, again,
with our guest.
With Paul Paul Scarcello.
Excellent.
Is it a deterrent? It was set up as one, but is it one now?
Well, it certainly deters that particular criminal.
Well, look,
My biggest problem is that person really guilty? Because they have found guys who have been sentenced to death
and then with their DNA proving it's not them. How do you define really guilty? And people say, yeah, but I'm only talking about the really, really guilty ones. I was like, yeah, the problem is that's a hard line to draw.
Just because you put really, really in front of it.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
Really,
right,
really
right.
guilty. Holy it's like shit. We had 10 eyewitnesses and DNA, and then we had a confession. All right, well, you know that guy's guilty. But is that the new standard, 10 eyewitnesses, DNA, and a confession?
Right.
Is that the death penalty? But it's not the standard.
We've had guys in prison for 30 years come out of prison.
Yeah, you bet.
Right?
Yeah.
And my God, think of that. 30 years in the can.
How does that happen?
For an innocent person.
I can give all sorts of reasons why it happens. We don't need to go into it, but it does happen.
Yeah. Well, and Paul walked us through that.
And so only the really, really guilty we should kill. And now the problem is we've got to figure out how do we define really, really guilty? And then that's a moving target
as well.
And to Brett's point, the average death inmate incarceration before a date is even set is 21 years.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't even get a date.
I think they said
over two decades.
They'll probably die by suicide.
Or just old age.
Or at old age before it even happens. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. No.
If I can carry on. This is a little disturbing. So we've talked about abortion a million times. This is a little different. This is euthanasia. So, and I don't mean young people in like China. I mean euthanasia.
There you go.
So two 20-something women, both of whom suffer from autism, have submitted themselves to be euthanized by the state, one in the Netherlands and one in Canada.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Hmm.
Dude, I cannot.
I gotta tell you, this is.
I can't get that.
Look, I
can't get that.
The problem with this is it's very similar to the death penalty problem. The standard that you're going to permit it. So, if you would have asked me at different times in my life how I feel about myself and what's going on? I mean, I've suffered from my own bouts with depression and ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're permitted to make a decision like that at a certain young stage in your life, you're going to make that decision and then you never get a chance to recover from it. And it's,
because you're dead.
One of the most simple yet pointed things I learned about death is that it's very permanent.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught this blip of a scene from Yellowstone. And,
the TV show.
Yeah, the TV show. And the dad, what's his name? Can't think of it anyway. He's talking to his son.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner's talking to the attorney's son who I think must have been season one or something like that. He's going to take his life.
Because they're not talking anymore.
Right, exactly. he's going to take his life.
Yeah.
Sitting out in the, beautiful field, that sort of thing. And he talks him out of it, but he makes a comment saying, this act defines you. After you're doing it. Anything else before this, they've forgotten.
That's true.
They will remember you as is that you took your life.
Yeah.
That's all they'll remember you as.
And
I thought that's really poignant.
Yes.
I can't say that word this morning either. But if you think about it, you're right. If somebody takes their life, that's what they're defined by. That's all you remember them by. That's it. Anything before that, what you've done good, it's done.
Yeah. People listen.
Or there's an asterisk that you never overcome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did this.
Right.
I just thought that was really insightful, just a well-written moment.
Yeah.
Thinking, if that can, that's tough.
I mean, autism. I mean, I don't suffer from autism. I'm not even really sure what it is. It seems like it's something that has really come on in the last few decades. And has been diagnosed, and I don't understand.
It's a tough life.
Yeah,
it's a tough life.
Yeah. So look, it's not that. This is a complicated argument, except to say this: if you let one person do it, then it'll become a contagion, and other people will do it.
Right.
And it's like, I can just kill myself and end it. And it's almost like acting like it's okay. It's okay to say I just want to die, and I don't think it is okay to say that.
Right.
We've all probably said it to ourselves at some point or another.
Not for that. Now, if you're dying of cancer and you've gone through radiation and chemo and all that, and it's just going to be another 5 months of pain and torture, I could see an elderly person with cancer, maybe a medium-aged person with cancer, saying, turn off the machine.
Those are different scenarios.
We're
talking about somebody who's wholly healthy and able to live physically, and these people make a decision. So, at what age is this okay?
Yeah.
Like, how old do you have to be to
and
make
for
the
what
decision?
Conditions?
Is my 16-year-old able to make that decision?
Yeah.
Because I know lots of teenagers who have gone through all sorts of depression that would have said, I'm just going to kill myself if the parents said, that's okay. You know, let's just end your misery.
Yeah.
That'll be okay. And then they would do it.
They would do
it. It's sort of like cutting your genitals off.
Yeah. Right. They
They'll do it.
Yeah. Because it's a tough road, but it's just a journey we have to go through.
Ask anyone who has been through depression and sort of come out the other side, and they're almost always going to say they're better for it.
Well, right? Where's the Hippocratic oath here? Do no harm.
Yeah.
But they're redefining standards, Norm. This isn't just, they are saying that they believe they're doing no harm by letting somebody kill themselves.
Wow.
Because the morality that we rest upon, that life is sacred, that we're all sort of created in the image of God, that we all have this opportunity to live. If you don't believe those things, well, then just kill yourself. In fact, a lot of these people now think there's just too many humans anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Wow, man.
It's scary stuff.
Yeah, it is totally scary.
As we get closer to the end, obviously we want to talk about the eclipse coming up. You said something about that.
Please.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't realize this, that the 1806 solar eclipse, which the last total eclipse Ohio had was nicknamed the Tecumseh eclipse.
Oh, really interesting.
So in 1806, this very highlight what's going on. Huh. You know, indigenous peoples such as Delawares, Iroquois, Miami, Senecas, Shawnees, Wyandots were all over the place.
The War of 1812 hadn't happened yet.
So the 1806 solar eclipse held particular significance for the Shawnee brothers Tecumseh, and I'm really going to butcher his brother's name, Tenskwata. Sorry.
Good enough.
Tecumseh aimed to form a Native American confederation to resist land loss, while his brother was known as the Prophet, and wasn't really buying it. Tecumseh was not at the Treaty of Greenville in 1795 due to the lack of confidence in that whole feel to it.
And that's Greenville, Ohio.
Correct. Yeah. So Governor William Henry Harrison perceived the brothers' efforts as a threat. So in response to a challenge from Harrison, the Prophet predicted the eclipse. But it's speculated that Tecumseh learned of the eclipse from settlers or travelers. Mm. So he said, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen, and therefore we should.
So he used it to gain credibility.
And bring the tribes together.
Which shamans often did stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
for sure. Like, so that's why they call it that, is because
they had scientific knowledge that
at that time in the 1800s, there were, like we have right now, eclipse followers. They knew how this stuff was happening, and they're going all over the country see eclipses.
It goes back to the Mayans, the Celts.
So it was predicted.
This
at
is
time.
Ancient stuff. The ancient Egyptians.
Yeah. So
we're
really
well aware of this stuff.
Real interesting.
I just got to say one thing about the eclipse. I don't know where you guys are going to be. I'm going to Painesville, Ohio.
Oh, you're traveling. Wow.
Friend of mine up there in the Cleveland suburbs invited me up. So
now, how are you doing this then? You're going to go up the day before and stay the day after?
No, I'm going to go up Super Monday morning, because it doesn't happen until like 3 in the afternoon.
Okay, and you're planning on coming back when?
I'm heading over to Michigan.
Okay, good.
You're doing a bunch of errands.
Good. All right, there you go.
But
because traffic's going to be crazy.
But you guys, I just want to say this. You guys out there, like Norm here, that have welding equipment in your garage, and I've seen this in previous eclipses. Unless you have a number 14 or number 12 lens, which almost no welding kits come with, because that's super dark, that allows almost no light through, and only really weird kinds of welding would demand that kind of a lens. Unless you have a number 12 or number 14, don't use your welding helmet or goggles.
Yeah, are they selling glasses? I mean, the stores are selling the appropriate glasses. Right. I presume we can trust those.
I'm assuming so. I don't know if this, hopefully we can get this on before Monday at 3, but the ISO number, so the International Standards Organization number, is 12312-2. That is the standard, 12312-2. If you go to Tractor Supply or Kroger, wherever the hell you buy your little goggles or your lenses, make sure it has that ISO 12312-2 on it, or else it's not safe. I mean, that's a bottom line.
So the prediction for Monday, just so you know, folks, it's partly cloudy. Yeah, to mostly cloudy. Yeah.
I think the last one.
So really,
and they're canceling reservations.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I'm going up for the beer and hot dogs.
But I think, you know, we had talked about going back to the farm, which was the farm we own is West Central Ohio, right at the Indiana line.
Oh, perfect.
And it would have been the 4 minute darkness there.
Yeah.
But then I just realized I saw the map and going, well, it cuts Columbus in half, and we can experience it for about a minute.
That's good enough.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the minute. Especially if it's going to be cloudy. I'm fine.
Catch the next one in 200 years.
That's what I'm planning on. So I'm eating a lot healthier right now.
Dose of common sense. All right. Well, you got a word for the day?
You know, I don't. I forgot. The word is be safe. How about that?
All right.
That?
The word be safe. All right. Perfect.
It's eclipse. The word is eclipse.
I have a phrase. And it's kind of a news thing.
I forgot to look one up.
So have you guys heard of Havana Syndrome? That's where our diplomats have been claiming, like in their embassies, that the Cubans and the Russians have bombarded them and they've got these weird illnesses. So Havana Syndrome, that's our phrase. The Pentagon came out this week and said it's real. Because a lot of people doubted, like, oh, come on, you're not really getting radiated by the Russians. Turns out the Pentagon says it's a real thing.
That's been going on a long time.
There's been the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing about that maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Right. And it's like, that sounds pretty legit.
I know.
Because they've kind of proven it.
Yeah.
At that point in
time. So they're aiming antenna array at our embassies.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's insane. All right.
Jeez.
Well, look, I think that's it. Have we covered it?
I just got one other thing, right, Steve.
Norm's got one more.
Because you're a football guy.
I was.
What is this deal with the NFL banning the pull-down tackles? Like, they have now banned where you wrap your arms around a guy's waist. And you know how hard it is to tackle somebody. Yeah. It's chaos. If you can get any piece of that guy and bring him down, that's a tackle in the old days. They're saying now that too many knee injuries are happening by guys pulling, like hitting low and pulling you down by the waist, and they're banning that. How in the hell can they ban that kind of a tackle?
Wow. I don't know. I have not heard that. That's news to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're not, I mean, think no, of, I'm, come, let's come look, back on a
no,
new.
No, we can think about it right now. It's like, you know, there was a time like the traditional form tackle was sort of standardized before there were face masks.
That's right.
So you had form tackles that protected the tackler, and as a result, it was a little bit safer for the runner, I guess. And you know, this pull down from the waist. I mean, that would you could sort of see that as a.
It's
almost a form tackle
because you're hitting center mass. You're wrapping the guy.
Now, leading with your head down. People argue with me all the time. It's like, you know, getting rid of that. Like, because back in the 90s. Early 2000s, when those big hitters would come along, they'd lead with their head. They didn't even wrap. They were just like torpedoes.
Yeah, spearing. Mm-hmm.
Spearing. I mean, you know, I can see why that's not good.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Now, you can argue about some of these calls that are...
Yeah, where it's inadvertent.
I mean, you know, it's like, but this is a weird one, man.
This is weird. You know,
football, I think it's one of those sports that if created today, it would be outlawed.
Or it would be flag football.
Outlawed the way it is.
I mean, and that's what it's called.
I also think that about driving. You know, if cars were invented today, we wouldn't be allowed to drive.
Yeah, probably.
It's just these people's notions of what's safe and what's not. I mean, look, football is a violent, dangerous, unsafe, injury-prone sport. It just is.
Yeah, right.
It's the Roman Coliseum.
It just is. Yeah, I played the game and I got hurt. It's inherently dangerous.
There's another rule, too. Not to go into the deep rabbit hole of NFL, but the rules for kickoffs are going to change,
too.
The kicking team will kick off from its own 35-yard line. 10 members of the kicking team will line up on the receiving team's 40-yard line, 25 yards in front of their kicker.
Yeah, so what happens
is... Is this arena football stuff? Is that what it's bleeding from?
No.
These guys are kicking way too deep now.
What's happening is if I'm kicking from my own 35, I read this, but I didn't dissect it. I'm going to do this live.
Okay,
folks, in person. If I'm kicking from my own 35, but my kicking team, the coverage team, is on the other side's 40, that's about what, 40 or how many yards ahead of me?
25 yards.
All right, so what that prevents is the kickoff team from doing what I used to love to do, get ahead of steam and just blast the crap out of whoever has got the ball.
Oh.
I was the attack guy.
They would murder people. Okay. Absolutely.
So the fair catch, kind of that fair catch rule feel too.
Well, it prevents people.
If he didn't, then you murder him.
Right, so what I used to do, we used to line up, and my job, like everybody's been on kickoff teams, knows the old adage, stay in your lane. stay in your lane. So all the lanes are covered, and you know, don't overcommit, because then you get somebody reverses their field and comes back around you. My job was not to stay in my lane. We had a kickoff that was designed to go to the corner, and my job was to attack the football wherever it is. I was just that guy. I would line up right next to the football. Alan Pohorilis was our kicker. He was the soccer kicker, and I had a blast. It was joyous.
Sure. You were the assassin.
It was joyous.
yeah, that's fun.
A full head of steam.
Yeah.
And I got tackles. I mean, at one point,
you
I had
blow
most
the
tackles
guy
in a game because we kicked off. And I got a tackle every time.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
And you blow him up, man.
And I got
you
hurt.
Blow the guy.
Yeah. And I got hurt. I hurt my shoulder. I hurt my neck, and it's still to this day. You know,
wow.
To this day, because I got what everybody knows is a stinger, and it never went away.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's like I got hurt. Look, and I wouldn't have if I didn't do that.
So it's actually protecting the offensive line as well, too.
It's
then.
Protecting everybody.
It's
protecting again.
All right.
It's protecting everybody. Now
you
could say, now look, that's the argument in favor. The argument against of it is, come on, guys, it's football.
Yeah.
Right.
It's football.
And you're
not doing it unless
you're diffusing
know, right?
it again.
The NFL's got this big push to bring women into football, and the way to do it would be to have flag football, because then you'd have no contact.
The way to do it is just to let one woman play as the rules are now.
Well, okay. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I agree
right.
with
then
that.
Then it'll never happen again.
But I'm talking
right.
about,
well, yeah.
right, then
yeah.
it would never happen again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, look, it's not even a criticism of women.
Of course not.
No,
of
I
course
couldn't
not.
Go play the NFL.
Right.
I was not equipped to play in the NFL.
No.
I'm a grown-ass man who played football in a small college.
It's like
There's
these
no
crazy...
no chance in hell I would have had it.
They're talking about that girl from, young woman from Iowa, Caitlin, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, she should just go right into the NBA.
Yeah, no, she shouldn't.
Oh, come on, guys.
No.
This
is
what
like the
hell?
McEnroe, like, don't listen to McEnroe's interviews about the greatest tennis players of all time.
Yeah.
And why didn't you pick a woman? He's like, because you want the greatest woman of all time? I'll give you that. But you can't. They're two different classes right. of analysis,
and both are fantastic in their field.
Right.
Of course,
and
they're
by
fantastic.
The, and by the way,
Serena, I think, has been interviewed and says I couldn't beat the best.
Right, I think I saw that too.
The women's Final Four is in Cleveland, and they're
that's
and
right.
the tickets are $1,000.
Wow.
The male Final Four tickets are $750.
Some
people
love
want
it.
They
love
want
it.
To see that girl from.
And that's
I keep saying girl.
Young
lady from
that's fantastic.
Iowa.
That's great. I love it.
It really
love
is.
Love it.
It's kind of cool.
That's
kind of cool.
Yeah,
and it's here in Ohio. It's
and
cool.
look, there's a school of thought. I used to go watch the Capital University when I was a kid. My dad taught at Capital University, and what we did every Tuesday, I think it was like on Tuesdays and Saturdays or Fridays, they would play.
Nice.
And we would go watch to the point where I got to learn the team and I knew the players and I did whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like basketball. It was like I don't want to call it. What's the movie? Hoosiers.
Hoosiers?
It
was real basketball.
They passed
then.
The ball.
Yeah.
They had to play.
They
it
had
wasn't
to dribble.
Just fast pace. Everybody slammed dunks and they would set up plays and I learned their offense.
Right.
And then, you know, Worcester, I remember them playing Worcester and Worcester used to stall before the shot clock. And, you know, it was basketball. And sometimes women's basketball is a little bit like that. Like it's like they have to move the ball around. It's not just a run and gun slam dunk. It's fun to watch the run and gun slam dunk, but it's also this other, like watching women play
it's
and set up plays.
It's traditional basketball.
And watch the ball move around. And, in a way that
they don't travel
strategically.
Right. I mean, the NBA, those guys are taking 3-4 steps. They're not dribbling. I mean, it's crazy.
Couple,
it's a different game.
It's a totally different game. So anyway, all right. Well, with that, we're really going to wrap it up.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm glad we talked about it.
Yeah.
So commonsenseohioshow.com, where you can go check us out on our website, and you can do lots of things there. You can subscribe. You can like. You can push it out to all your friends. Share. Just everybody knows how to copy a link now and send it by text. Just go ahead and do that. Or if you want to go to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, wherever you get your podcast and subscribe, you can do that. We can help you do it at the website, too. You can check us out on YouTube. Why? Because we are on video. That's right, video, folks. You can see us. You can look at clips on Facebook, too. So lots of fun stuff going on. If you think you got the chops to hang with Norm here at the round table.
You don't.
trust me, it's hard. Every week. Every week. But
good
you know,
God.
If you want to be a guest, you got something to offer, or you want a topic to cover, just shoot us an email at commonsenseohioshow.com. We're happy to do it. You can also become a sponsor like Harper Plus. You know, we can move him aside, nudge him over there and find some sponsorship opportunities. So
$1 million, come on. You know.
And you know, if you're TurboTax and you want to sponsor us, then you know, I'll be your guy. I'll love that program if you give us $1 million. I promise.
Big time.
So with that, we are coming at you right from the middle each and every week, at least until